Film Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances and other live events. Accessible Cinema.
Welcome to Fred Accessible Cinema, Fred's program on media accessibility and inclusion to inform you about the status of accessibility in the media industry. And in this new episode, we will know more about the trends, the innovations, but also the technologies that are shaping the world of media accessibility. So we will explore together many different topics, from the new technological tools used for providing media access services, including tools dealing with artificial intelligence, to easy to read digital projects and passing through the role of users in the evolving media accessibility landscape. There's a lot to take in today, so stay with us and don't miss this new episode of Accessible Cinema.
Fred Film Radio. Accessible Cinema.
Welcome back to Fred Accessible Cinema. Today we will know more about the new challenges but also opportunities in the field of media accessibility. And to know more about that, we are going to listen to an interview with Rocío Barnabé Caro, Deputy Head of the Professional College of Translation and Interpreting of the SDI in Munich in Germany, and tenured lecturer at the SDI University of Applied Languages, but she's also a member of the International Association of Accessibility Professionals.
Red Film Radio. Accessible Cinema.
Hi, Rocío. Thank you for joining us on Fred. It's a real pleasure to have you here with us.
Thank you, Francesca, for having me here today, for your invitation.
Thank you. First of all, Rocío, you have worked as a specialized staff translator for almost 20 years. You are a member of the Transmedia Catalonia Research Group. You have been working on many, many projects on accessibility. I was wondering, how did everything start? I mean, how did you become so involved in accessibility, in media accessibility?
Well, it actually started by chance. It was, I came to a point, I was very long working as part of the staff in translation departments at companies. And then I started teaching. And then it came to a point where I was a bit tired of the topics, and I wanted to do something that is related to, you know, that has a social focus. And this is how I started learning more about accessibility and how to and about inclusion. And since I am very keen of technical aspects of translation, you know, like computer-assisted translation or terminology-assisted systems. Mm-hmm. I found this great combination of accessibility and technical aspects. And then I decided to start studying. So I did a master's in degree in technical accessibility of in digital contexts. And that's how I then discovered easy to read as well.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of technologies, we can say that over the years, you have witnessed many changes in the field of accessibility and in media accessibility. So speaking of past and present, Rocío, where is media accessibility right now? What do you think?
I think it's really gaining momentum, but this has been like this for the past years. And I think new topics have arose, I started that with my PhD, you know, bringing easy to read into media accessibility. And now we have this, the project running. And I think on the one hand, new fields like easy to read, easy to understand. And on the other hand, a lot of focus on artificial intelligence and automation of processes. I think this is it's been discussed very very much
in
the
quite
past
a lot.
Years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is also in translation, you know, in just general translation. The technology has changed, you know, DeepL, you know, the translation system. And I think the industry is putting a lot of focus on that. On the other hand, the expectations are very high. The expectations, they think, well, you know, many people think technology and the outputs are going to be replacing the human translation. And it is not that far.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, yeah.
Human translators are still fundamental in the process. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is not going to change, really. Mm-hmm. It's been, I mean, the technology is helping us a lot.
Yeah.
And the technology now delivers like 83% accuracy and good outputs. But the rest, the other 20% has to be done by humans.
Yeah.
So the job of the human is going to be changing because of the technology. But I don't think one will replace another. It has to be a coexistence somehow.
Yeah, of course, of course. And new technologies have also increased the number of services. And Easy to Read is definitely a new candidate to join the list of services, or maybe it is already there in the list of services to create a higher degree of accessibility. Can you tell us more about Easy to Read language, first of all, and maybe also about the projects related to the service that you have been carrying out so far?
Yes, well, Easy to Read is a simplified way of writing. And the main target users of Easy to Read text and language are persons who have cognitive disabilities or intellectual disabilities, or persons who are not very literate and they don't, you know, they don't have problems reading or writing, and also elderly. So it is quite a big group of users. But the main, I would say, the very original user group is persons with the intellectual disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of years ago, it was 2015, we, Pilar Orero and I, started thinking about how to combine these two fields, audiovisual translation and Easy to Read. And that's, like I said, when I started my PhD. So we started also the ESIT project that Ana Matamala then decided to coordinate, and it's going to be finished by August this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first project, and the focus of ESIT is to provide training materials for professionals working in audiovisual translation who want to expand their skills and start, you know, creating subtitles or audio descriptions or journalist text using a simplified language, be it Easy to Read or plain language. The difference between Easy to Read and plain is that Easy to Read language is more rule based. There are certain rules that you should take into consideration when writing, and it's more simplified altogether than plain language.
Mm-mm.
So in the project, we sort of move between from less simplified, meaning plain, to more simplified, meaning easy to read.
Mm-mm.
So that was the first project. And now we just started a new one, which is called Train to Validate.
Mm-hmm.
And in Train to Validate, what we focus is on creating training materials for facilitators and for validators. Let me explain you that. When you create an easy to read text, when you write something in easy to read, you usually ask end users to validate this text. And by validating, we mean that they let us know if the text is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And the persons who do this are called validators.
Mm-mm.
And they work in groups, mostly, mm-hmm. and together with one person who is called a facilitator. The facilitator has more of a moderator role. So that person, you know, moderates the validation group and prepares all the papers and all the texts. So unfortunately, these two key roles in the process of creating EC2 proficiency to read texts are not recognized. We know this from translation as well. And so the aim of Train to Validate of the new project is to put them on the focus and say, look, there are these two great professional profiles. They are very specialized. They are very, they have very, you know, specific skills to in their creation process. And so we want to create training materials for them, and we want to design a course that can be certified and recognized across Europe.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. So a kind of certification, something like that. That's interesting. And speaking of projects, Rocío, you are the leader of the Live Text Access project, co-founded by the Erasmus Plus program of the European Union, which aims to design an effective and certified curriculum, speaking of certifications, for real-time intralingual speakers and velotypists. SAPTI Access is one of the partners of the project. Rocío, can you tell us more about LTA? What is Live Text Access, first of all? What is Live Text Access, first of all? And what are its main objectives?
Yes. Well, Live Text Access is another Erasmus project, as you say. And the goal was actually very similar, was to develop training materials to train real-time intralingual subtitlers. In, you know, in other countries, these they are called live captioners or speech-to-text interpreters. And these professionals create live or written text of live speeches. And there are two main techniques, either re-speaking by repeating, you know, by creating the written text by using a speech software recognition. This is re-speaking. Or they can create the subtitles by typing. And when you type, there's a special keyboard that is called Velotype, which is allows you to create syllables instead of single letters. You know, you and I, we use the standard keyboard with the single letters. And the Velotype keyboard creates a syllable. So, of course, they are much faster when typing.
So, by pressing several keys simultaneously, we can create words. Is it correct? Okay.
Right. So, instead, for instance, instead of typing STOP to create the word stop, you just press those keys with one stroke, and then there you go, you have the word.
So that it's faster. And Rocío, you have a lot of partners, because when we think of velotypists, we immediately think of your one of your partners of the LTA project. You have a lot of partners working together and coming from different backgrounds, educational, non-educational partners. And well, maybe this is one of the main strengths of the project. How did you manage, Rocío, to create such a strategic partnership?
Well, this is all about networking. You know, I know people from the universities, from other universities, and from the industry. In our case, we were also very lucky to know the members of the European Federation of Hard of Hearing. For instance, Veeam works with them very often at their conferences. So, you know, and then we had Pilar Orero, and Pilar, she knew, for instance, Carlo Eugeni, who is a real speaker in Italy. So this is a lot of networking, and, you know, we all go to conferences, and either you're working at the conference or you're enjoying the conference. So this is how you get together. And usually in these networking sessions, as we will have now online, but of course, face to face was the classical way to do this. You start just talking about what is it necessary. And Veeam was actually the one who had the idea of the project, because he had the problem that, you know, he has a lot of customers saying, Veeam, can you do the subtitling? And he came to a point where he said, I don't have enough colleagues that are well trained for the job. So, you know, that was actually his idea. And then the project started, and then, you know, more people and more people. So it's actually quite easy. You know, it comes to a point where it's quite easy to find partners for such a project.
And there's also the European Federation of Hard of Hearing People. Yes. This is one of your partners. And speaking of users, Rocío, what is the role of users nowadays in the media accessibility field? I mean, how has the role of users changed over the years in the media accessibility landscape?
Well, I think it has changed greatly because people are starting to realize that they have to listen to them because they are the real experts. I see it with Marcel and Aida, you know, from the European Federation of Hard of Hearing. They just ultimately they are the ones who can tell you this is right, this is wrong, and can help you to make it better. Because we, you know, if you don't have a hearing loss or you don't have an intellectual disability, you just can't sort of, you know, guess that this is going to be right. But having them in the team, giving all this feedback and support, then it just makes it, the quality blows up, you know, it's just, it's so much more than before, you know, people guessing how it should be done. And I think, well, this has changed in many other fields. You know, you have your human-centered approach in digital design and in product design. This was already there. I think in translation, we're just a bit late. But nonetheless, it's becoming more, and I think this is the way it goes, should go forward. You know, for instance, in the field of cognitive disability, there's this motto that, you know, not for us, without us. And this is the whole sense of it. You know, you have to involve users because they are ultimately the experts. And well, it's changing, but it depends on the country, to be honest. You have still some, let's say, research approaches to say, well, we don't actually need the involvement of users at certain stages, or they have a different role. But I don't share this approach. I see that, you know, we need all approaches, but I think the involvement of target users is definitely an
fundamental
added value.
Yes. Exactly, absolutely.
Red Film Radio. Accessible cinema.
We have just listened to an interview with Rocío Barnavecaro. Rocío shared with us a wonderful and detailed overview of what is happening in the media accessibility landscape. So the new digital tools used to provide access services, the changing role of both professionals and users, and the many projects looking at media accessibility from different angles, from different perspectives. And if you want to keep track of how the media accessibility field is changing, well, don't miss our next episode of Accessible Cinema. Meanwhile, you can visit Media Accessibility Platform's website, mapaccess.org, the first collaborative online platform gathering information on the history, but also the state of the art of research, policies, training, practices, and conferences in the field of media accessibility. Bye for now. This is Francesca Raffi, and this is Fred Accessible Cinema on Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. Fred Film Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances, and other live events. Accessible Cinema. Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.